going to be talking for the next couple of weeks is a big part of that as we prepare next Sunday to receive our annual yearly 316 offering. And I want to read the scripture and then we're going to talk. Are you guys ready? Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Everybody said Acts chapter 20, verse 35. I don't know why I told you to repeat that. It just sounded good. Let's get into the Word of God today. Paul is talking. He says, "And I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard." And he says, "You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus." And so he's quoting Jesus. These are Jesus' words, not Paul's. "You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed." Everybody say, "More blessed." Say it again, "More blessed." "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we love you. I thank you for this word. I thank you for your word instructing, bringing instruction, bringing revelation, and Jesus ultimately bringing us closer to you, to knowing you in the most real, powerful, deep, and intimate way that we possibly can, Lord. I pray, God, that your word would be the footing that we take our next step on today. And I pray, God, that you would make those things happen as we look at your word this morning. In Jesus' name. Everybody put your hand in your belly. Everybody put your hand in your belly. Say, "Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear. So I can do what you want me to do and be everything you call me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen." I don't know if you can tell this, and if not, you're going to get made aware of it real quick, but I like to eat. Anybody else like to eat? Any eaters out there? Anybody just enjoy? It's all right, man. It's just, I mean, I'm not talking about like you like to eat because you have to eat to live. I'm talking about like you like to eat. Like, I like to eat. I love, I like, and so I think that probably, and you're like, "Yeah, we can tell you like to eat. That's fine, whatever." Listen, I think that's probably the fact that I like to eat has probably played a big role in me learning how, figuring out, and enjoying cooking, because I like to cook. And actually, I like to eat my food almost more than I like to eat anyone else's food. And listen, if you're a cook that doesn't enjoy your own food, you're not a cook. Amen, somebody? Okay? So, and let me tell you this. Let me just say this. I think we know this. This is good wisdom. I don't trust a skinny chef, okay? I don't trust a skinny cook, okay? You understand what I'm saying? If you're not tasting the goods, you're not tasting your own wares, why do I want to taste them, you know? So anyway, I think that's probably why I learned to cook. I like to cook, and I enjoy cooking. But here's what I've started to see also. As much as I love to eat, as much as I love to eat my own ribs, as much as I love to eat the barbecue that I make, as much as I love to eat a big steak that I've cooked to my personal perfection, as much as I love that, you know what's actually possibly, it's very close, it might even be more satisfying, it is almost at times more satisfying to watch other people enjoy the food that I've prepared. That brings its own type of satisfaction. You know what I mean? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like for instance, and I'm not trying to sound braggy, and if I do, I'm sorry, but I'm just telling you right now, last week at Thanksgiving, I 100% cooked the best turkey that I've ever tasted in my life. I don't really even like turkey, and I couldn't get enough of this turkey. In fact, my own mother texted me 4 days later and said that was the best turkey I've ever had, okay? And she's a woman of God. She don't lie. She can't lie. So I know it was the truth, you know? Like, I got thumbs up from other people. Listen, I'm telling you right now, but it's so satisfying. A lot of times when I cook a big meal like that, I'll sit back and let everybody get their plates and just kind of watch everybody. Man, there is a certain satisfaction that only comes from giving that away and watching other people enjoy something that I've worked to do and figured out how to do. You know what I'm talking about? And I think that's as rudimentary and as basic and probably as ugly as an example as that is. That's a little bit, I think, about what Paul's talking about when he quotes Jesus' words here and says, it is actually more blessed to give than it is to receive. It is wonderful to receive. And I thank God that God has treasures for me laid up in heaven that he wants to pour out into my life. Amen, somebody? It is great to receive from heaven, but there is a whole other level of blessing, a whole other level of satisfaction when I'm a part of someone else being blessed. When I'm a part of giving something that God has entrusted into my hands, man, that brings a whole nother level of satisfaction, much like it's great to see and hear and watch people enjoy something that I cook and that I enjoy for myself. And so Paul says these words in the book of Acts. And I'm just going to, listen, just get over it. We're talking about giving. We're talking about being generous for the next couple of weeks. That's what it is. Because I want our hearts prepared by the Word of God as we get ready to do what I know God told us to do. How many years old is the church now? First Sunday was 2013. So do the math. 8 years, right? We're going on 8 years. So 8 years ago, we started Red Life Church. In my soul, I know that God said, instructed us to do this every single year until he tells us something different, and that is to celebrate. Listen, the 316 offering that we're receiving next week, okay? The 316 offering that we're celebrating next week comes from this, and the idea and the vision of this is from one verse, John 3:16. What does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his own. What did he do? God so loved the world that he what? God so loved the world that he what? God's love for humanity inspired him to what? That's the crux. That is the central verse. That is the central verse that sums up all of the gospel. And the whole entire plan of the Bible from Old Testament to New Testament can be summed up and summarizes and is labeled and is centered around that one truth, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whosoever will believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And I know that God instructed us and said and challenged us as a church with this challenge. Celebrate when I gave my best by giving your best every single year at this time. And so that's what we've been doing. And every single year for the last 7 years, 8 years, we have seen miracle after miracle. We have seen unbelievable provision, and we have been a part of blessing people in our community, and you've been a part of making things happen through this ministry, through this church, and outside of these four walls that only comes from one way, and it's from giving. Amen? Amen, somebody? And so that's what the 316 offering is all about. And I want us to go into that next week with an understanding of what happens, why it's important, and what's going on when we give. Because some of you online, some of you right here in this building, the Holy Spirit in the next couple of weeks, and actually this next week, is going to speak to you, maybe even today, maybe even right now, the Lord is stirring you up to trust him in an area of generosity, to trust him in an area of giving. And I want you to be fully armed, fully aware by the Word of God of why that's important, what that is, and it doesn't all come down to, but one of the things that we can look at is this truth that Paul shares. And here's the deal. Paul is speaking this when he's talking, he's having a conversation with this group of elders, this group of church leaders from the church in Ephesus. He's already founded the church a few chapters ago, a few years ago, and now Paul understands, he knows that he's on his way to Jerusalem, and Paul actually has already been told and has already told people, I know that when I get to Jerusalem, I'm going to face some hardship. And this in Paul's mind, when he's speaking to these Ephesian elders, he may be giving them his very last instructions, his very last words. And some of his very last words and instructions to the Ephesian elders was to remind them of the words of Jesus. This is also interesting that these are the words of Jesus, because these words are not recorded anywhere in any of the four Gospels. But it's written in red. He quotes this as a saying that Jesus was known to have taught and have said. Some biblical scholars believe and call this little footnote in the book of Acts, the missing beatitude. They believe that possibly it was part of the Sermon on the Mount that you read about in like Matthew chapter 5 through 7 or 8. But it wasn't recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But here's the deal. I think it's pretty powerful to understand that even though it wasn't recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you need to understand that Paul himself probably wasn't there to hear the beatitudes. He wasn't there at the time. He wasn't a follower of Jesus at the time. So that means this, that for Paul to have known that these were the words of Jesus, that this has to have been something that Jesus said so much that it was just given to the people that were around him and heard him, that it was just something that they repeated over and over and over again because Jesus had said it so often, or he had said it in such a way that it was so powerful that it was just, he's saying this, he's not saying this to the Ephesian elders. If you read that, it doesn't sound like this is new information. You understand what I'm saying? It sounds like he's like, hey, remember what Jesus said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So this must have been something so ingrained that Jesus talked about so often that it was just that the writers of the Gospels didn't even feel like they needed to write it down because everybody already knew it. You know what I mean? And so Paul's quoting this. This is not the words of Paul. This is the words of Jesus. And one of his last instructions in his mind to the church leaders in Ephesus was to remind them, hey, guys, if you want to do something great for God, if you want to be more blessed in the kingdom of God, then remember, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay? One of the goals and one of the visions, one of the values of Red Life Church has been this from day one also. We want to be, and I want us to be, and we are, I believe, by the grace of God, a church that is known more by what we give than what we receive. Amen? I want to be a church in our community that's known because we're giving. Amen? And you know what? We have accomplished that goal. We get phone calls all the time from people who need help, who need assistance. We get referred to people. And many times we're able to. Sometimes we're not. We can only do so much. In fact, just this week I got a phone call when I was in the office from someone that said, hey, I heard your church is able to help someone. I want to share the story. And we're able to do these little things once in a while. let me say this. You say, well, why can't we? Listen, just because we can't do it for everyone doesn't mean we can't do it for someone. Amen? We can't pay everybody's bills. We can't meet every single need. But just because we can't do it for everybody doesn't mean once in a while we shouldn't do it for somebody. Amen, somebody? Just this past week, I got a phone call in the office. And it was somebody from one of the places here in town where older individuals live. He said, "Hey, so and so lady is in the hospital with COVID. She's been on a ventilator for a few weeks, and she's been having a real rough time. And she said, I'm trying to get together. She said, I've got her electric bill paid. I'm trying to get some. And it was like $150 is what she needed to get her rent paid for another month while she was in the hospital battling COVID. And you know what? We were able to do that without any big deal at all. Amen, somebody. You know why? Because of your gift. Because of your generosity. Because of our giving, we're able to do that. Why did we get a phone call? Because other people have said, hey, Red Life Church is a giving church, is a generous church, and they are here to help people. Amen, somebody. Amen. So that's just one example of one thing that happened very recently. Why it's more blessed and how we're putting these words into action. Amen? So here's the question. How am I more blessed? How am I more blessed? How do I receive more blessing? What is going on? What does it mean to be more blessed when I give than when I receive? Well, let's first talk about what more blessed means. More blessed is real simple. You don't need a degree in Greek to understand this. The word more simply means more. It means more than you, it means a greater number than you currently have. Amen, somebody? That word blessed, however, is this Greek word makarion, and it means to be happy, it means to be blessed, it means literally to be endowed with divine favor and protection, to have the hand of God protecting and pouring out over your life. I don't know about you, but I think I could use more of that in my life. Amen, somebody? Okay? Well, this is what the word of Jesus says here, and this is something you have to understand, and we have just got to get over it. This is just the way it is in God's kingdom. There are certain principles in God's kingdom that completely turn everything in our secular and in our physical world on its head, okay? And this is one of them. Here's the deal. Get this now. You can't miss this. In God's economy, or in the kingdom of God, the way to have more is to give more. Now, there's just no two ways about it. Now, in our physical world, if I want more, I've got to work harder, I've got to save more, I've got to be more frugal, I've got to hold on to more. But in the spiritual kingdom and in the kingdom of God, if I want more, I've got to be able to give more. Amen? And listen, this goes, if you're only thinking financially when you hear this, then you're only thinking on the first level of this truth and of this principle. This is not just give more finances to get more finances. Listen, that principle applies to anything that I want more of. Amen? If I want more of God's activity, if I want more of God's presence, if I want more of God's Spirit in my life, the only way to do that is to give away more of Justin, give away more of myself so that I can make room for more of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is not just purely about money, dollars, and cents. This principle applies to anything in the kingdom that I'm believing God for more of. Amen? But it also does apply to my finances, to what I actually give. Amen? In God's economy, the way to have more is to give more. And I want to talk about three ways that those who give become more blessed. And these are just the first three that I'm talking about here this morning. We could go on and on and on about ways that we can be more blessed. That's something you can think about as you go home. But I'm going to give you three real quick here this morning. The first one is this. God tends to use those that give generously. Amen? God tends to use those who give generously. You can see this applied all throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. There is not a person that is used in any significant way in the kingdom of God that did not have a generous giving heart. Amen, somebody? Okay? All the way back to the father of the faith, the father of the Jewish faith, the father Abraham had many sons. Many sons have father Abraham. You know what the Bible says? That Abraham was one of the first people that said when he won a great battle, tithed 10% of all of what he won and all of the plunder that he got in a battle. You read this in Genesis. He tithed it to the priest Melchizedek, okay? Now, let me just get real. Let me just pull this thread for a minute with you. Because some people believe, well, tithing, Jesus abolished the law, and tithing was a part of the Old Testament law, so we do not have to tithe. Tithing is not a principle that New Testament believers need to do. And if you don't know what tithing simply means a tenth, okay? Another kingdom principle. We're going to look about this. We're going to talk about this in Malachi chapter 3 in just a minute. But it says, actually, go and put it up. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, put that up for me. We'll go and dig into this. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you, pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Try it, put me to the test. So what is a tithe? A tithe is simply a tenth, okay? Tithe means tenth, okay? What God said in the Word of God is if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a follower of Jehovah God in any way, then you trust me with the first 10% of your income and God will bless the other 90 in a more significant way than the entire 100 could ever do. Now, forget about trying to work it out on the calculator and work it on your head. This is just a spiritual law, kingdom law that God has set into motion. Amen, somebody? Well, I believe that was part of the law, so Jesus abolished the law, so New Testament church believers, we don't have to, that's not a principle I need to apply in my life. Well, if we're talking about heaven and hell, no, I'm sure you can go to heaven without being a tither, but I'm probably going to miss some of what God wants to do in my life on earth. Amen? And here's where the whole thing about the law gets torn up. My friend Abraham, the Bible says, tithed a tenth to the priest Melchizedek after a great victory. I got to tell you this. Abraham predates the law of Moses by about 700 or so years. So we see that tithing was a spiritual principle in effect long before the law and the Ten Commandments ever came through Moses. Can I pull the thread a little more? The book of Hebrews declares that Jesus is a greater priest than the Mosaic priest which set up Moses' brother Aaron as the natural line of the high priest all throughout history. And so what the Bible says in the New Testament is that Jesus is actually a high priest, not in the order of Aaron or in the order of the law, but the Bible says that Jesus is a high priest in the line, in the heritage, in the order of Melchizedek. So if Melchizedek in the Old Testament, several hundred years before the law, receives tithes, guess who else will receive our tithes today, thousands of years later, and see this principle operate in our lives? Our high priest, Jesus. Amen? Now, Abraham gave greatly. Moses gave greatly. David, a man after God's own heart, the Bible says David gave greatly. In fact, the Bible says that David funded everything for the building of the temple. He knew that he wasn't going to build the temple. His son Solomon was going to build the temple. But the Bible says that David brought in all of the wood, all of the stone, had all of it ready to go. He gave that out of his own resources. Why? Because he wanted to do something great for God. Amen, somebody? Solomon, the Bible says, let's talk about David again. Other instances where David gave unbelievably. The Bible says in the Old Testament, there's a story where David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem for the first time in decades. And the Bible says that as they were on their way, it had been housed in someone else's house for some reason. I don't have time to go into all the nuts and bolts of it, but it was somewhere else was the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represents the glory and the presence of God. David said, I want to bring the presence of God right back into the central part of my life and into the kingdom of Israel, into my leadership. So that's what he's doing. So he's bringing the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, back from where it was a few miles down the road. And the Bible says that the day that they brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, the Bible says every six steps they stopped and offered a sacrifice. Just so you know, in the Old Testament, when you gave, you didn't get to text in your giving. You didn't get to write a check. You didn't get to drop cash in a bucket or pay on PayPal. You actually had to bring an animal and slaughter it. It was a bloody business. And every six steps, David gave. When Solomon builds the temple a few years later after David is gone, the Bible says on the day that Solomon dedicated the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, the Old Testament says that Solomon gave and slaughtered so many bulls and so many sheep and so many rams, the Bible says that the number could not even be counted. And Solomon was blessed with the greatest wisdom in all the world and was elevated to the place of being known as the richest king in all of the land. Solomon was used greatly. Solomon gave greatly. Amen. Let's go to the New Testament. You see guys like Barnabas showing up in Acts chapter 5. The Bible says Barnabas sold a piece of land and brought all of the proceeds to the church and laid it at the apostles' feet. Just gave everything that he had to the work of God and to the kingdom of God. And then Barnabas becomes one of the other apostles, goes out with Paul on the first missionary journey, sees hundreds and thousands, millions maybe of people getting saved. Listen, God uses big givers. Paul was a big giver. I'm showing you all this. We could go on and on and on all throughout Scripture and see where people gave sacrificially and people gave greatly as God used them greatly. The point is this. God tends to use people who are generous. Now, I want you to understand this. Listen, don't miss this. This principle has nothing to do with the amount that you have to give. It has to do with the willingness to lay everything at the feet of Jesus and live my life open-handed and say, Jesus, everything I have is yours. If everything I have is $3 and it's available to God and I have a generous spirit with that, that's okay. I'm still giving greatly to the kingdom. Amen, somebody? You understand what I'm saying? You might have $3 million in the bank, in your bank account. If you do, I'd like to talk to you after this. No, you might have $3 million in your bank, and for you to give $300 means nothing at all. Someone else might have $1,000 in the bank, and to give $300 is a significant chunk of what God. It's not about the amount. It's about the willingness to be obedient when the Holy Spirit leads you to be generous. Amen, somebody? Okay? It's not about the amount. It's about my obedience. So I can be greatly generous right where I am at the level of financial blessing that I have right now. I need to be generous with that. Amen, somebody? And let me just say something. If you're sitting there and you're going, well, when I begin to make X amount, then I'll begin to give. When I begin to make X amount, then I'll tithe. When I make this level of income, or when I get this whatever, then I will begin to be generous. Then I will begin to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Friend, I got to tell you something. It just simply doesn't work that way. If I won't be faithful with the $100 in my hand, I will never be faithful with $1,000 in my hand. That's just human nature. That's just the way it works. You can't wait until a certain time or day or to say when I get there. No, I need to start to be generous now. And as I begin to give now, I will experience what it's like to be more blessed to give than to receive. Amen, somebody? This is good teaching today, ain't it? People God uses greatly tend to be great givers. Great giving is not about an amount, it's about obedience. The second way you're more blessed to give than to receive is this. Let's throw Malachi chapter 3, verse back up there again. It says, bring all the tithes of the storehouses so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, okay, let me just give you this real quick. A tithe is 10%. That belongs to God off the top, okay? Now, I'm just telling you, this is how my wife and I have lived our lives, our entire life. This is how I lived my life since I had a paper route, and my mom and dad said, okay, here's what you made. Here's 10% of that. This belongs to God. Don't touch it. Give it. Don't ever. And I've lived that way my entire life, okay? Amen? And I got to tell you right now, I'll get to that in a second. Okay, so a tithe is 10%. That belongs to God. An offering is anything above the 10%. Does that make sense? Come here, Eric. If I give Eric the keys to my car and he borrows the car and does what he's got to do and then brings it back to me, do I thank Eric because he's given me some great gift? No, I say thanks for bringing my car back. Thank you. If he brings it back to me, and when I gave it to him, the gas tank was at an eighth, and he brings it back on full, now he's giving me above what was already mine. Now I'll say, man, thank you so much, dude, for filling up my gas tank. You didn't have to do that. You understand what I'm saying? That's what tithe and offering. The tithe already belongs to God. You understand what I'm saying? And offering is anything above and beyond that. Tithe and offering come together to make me a generous person. You follow that? You can sit down. Okay, let's look at this now. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Only time in all of Scripture God says, test me. Only time. In fact, Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil, what is one of the things he said? He said, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test, right? So we are not supposed to test God except in this one thing. God says, put me to the test in this. I will come through every single time, okay? Here's the second way I want to talk about that givers are more blessed, and it's this. Obedience in the area of tithe and offering, obedience in generosity, obedience in giving will unlock the resources of heaven to my life. This is what he says. When you are faithful, specifically with the tithe here, when you are faithful, I will open up the windows of heaven and I will pour. Okay, let me talk about this for a second. Where does he say, put that back up there, please. Where does he say to bring the tithe to? The storehouse. What's the storehouse? Storehouse is where you get fed. Which means in our context here, the storehouse is where the local church you're connected to. Amen? Some of you say, well, I give to the homeless and I give to these charities and I give to this ministry and I give to this and that. That's all well and good, but your tithe belongs to the storehouse where you go to get bread. Amen, somebody? Okay, so you got to do this the right way and bring us in the right way. If you're part of Red Life Church, if this is your church, I got to tell you something. Your tithe belongs here, amen. Don't tithe. If you want to give to the homeless, give to the homeless. If you want to give to whatever charity or whatever, that's fine. That's all well and good. But your tithe belongs in the storehouse, and the storehouse is where you go to get fed. It's where you get real bread from. Amen, somebody? This is where you get spiritual bread. The Word of God is fed to you. Does that make sense? Okay? So, when I am faithful with that, God says, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing for you. This is basically what we're getting into here. God says that when you trust me with your resources, I'll grant you access to mine. When I trust God with the resources in my hand, God has given me a firm promise that he will grant me the access to his resources. And I got news for you. God's resources are far superior to you and to mine. Amen? I can tell you right now, 100% no doubt in my mind, the only reason that I have made it thus far and that we are in, that I, and listen, the only reason I'm here, the only reason we've made it through some of the things we've made it through, especially financially in my life, I know it's because we have been faithful tithers and have put this principle into practice in my life. Amen? I have watched my bills over and over again in times in my life work out, listen, I've watched it work out when it didn't work out on paper. Amen, somebody? How many else can testify that you've seen that happen in your life? I have looked at my finances, and in times when there was great need and things weren't adding up, and there was too much month left over at the end of the money. I know nobody else knows what that's like, just me. I've seen when it didn't work out on paper somehow, and I don't want to call it magic. I just know that God came through and it worked out, and we're still here, we're still standing. Amen, somebody? Why? Because God opens up the resources of heaven when I trust and obey him with the resources that he's already trusted me with. Amen? I need access to the resources of heaven in my life. Amen? And I'm not talking about just gold. I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about the peace. I'm talking about the blessing. I'm talking about the presence of God. I'm talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Those are the resources and all the others. Amen? So obedience unlocks resources, the resources of heaven. God says, when you trust me with your resources, I'll grant you access to mine. And this is the third thing I want to talk about, the way that givers are more blessed. Every time I give, here's the deal. Givers, when I'm generous, when I'm obedient with my tithe, when I put God first and I make that the first check that I write or the first thing that I pay, when I'm obedient, when God says, give extra here, give to that, do whatever. Here's what's going on. Every time I give, I'm getting a little more free from my greed. And every single one of us are inherently, because of sin, every one of us are inherently selfish and greedy people. Now, some of us hide it better than others. But all of us have inherent greed in our lives that only can be worked out through ultimately a relationship with Jesus, amen, and by intentionally following his plans for our lives, okay? What's one of the first words that some of your kids have learned? Mine. After mom, dad, and no. Mine, right? This is mine. Why do you have to teach your kids to share toys? Why do kids fight when one 6-year-old grabs another 6-year-old's action figure or doll or whatever it is? Why? Because we are all inherently selfish, and that's a form of greed. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. God, in the plan that he wrote for our lives called this Bible, worked in a systematic way for me on a regular basis to tell greed to shut its mouth and to kill the inherent selfishness and greed that lives inside of me, and that is through being generous. Amen? And friend, it is more blessed to be free from greed. It is more blessed to not be ruled by finances. It is more blessed to not live my life and to not be ruled and to not have my personal value rise up and down with my personal income level. You understand what I'm saying? There is free. That is a blessing from the Lord. Amen. To be free from greed. Every time I give, I'm intentionally shutting down selfishness. I'm activating generosity. You know what happens when I do that? Listen to me. When I activate generosity, I am literally taking on the very nature of God as displayed in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he what? God is a giver. God is a giver. So when I'm faithful in that and I'm obedient in that and I'm generous in that area, I'm taking on that nature. That's who we're supposed to be like, right? Jesus. Amen? Now, this is what I want you, this is what I really feel like we need to get in our hearts is this. We need to listen. This is going to be on the screen. I don't want you to miss this. We have got to believe that God wants us more blessed. I want you I want you individually to believe in your heart that God wants you more blessed. I need to believe that God wants Justin Bradley more blessed, Red Life Church more blessed. Why? Because the more blessed I am, the more blessing I can be. The more blessed we are as a church, the more blessing we can be in our community. Amen, somebody? But if I don't actually believe that God wants that for my life, it's going to be real difficult for me to see that activated in my life. And there's some believers, some Christians, I'm sure nobody in this room has ever struggled with this. But there's some believers, there's some people that believe, for whatever reason, either through bad teaching or just through the culture, environment you grew up in, or just the way that you've seen. Listen, you have a hard time believing that God, you believe that God wants to bless people, but you have a hard time making that personal and believing that God wants to actually bless you. God wants to provide for you. God wants you to have a story of him showing up in a supernatural way and providing in your life. And sometimes there can be a gap between what I believe God is able to do for other people and what I really am believing God to do for me. And as we go into this season, and as you do whatever God tells you to do, we suggest $300, $100, or $60 above your normal giving in the 316 offering. Do whatever God tells you to do. I don't care if God tells you to give $3,000 or if God tells you to give $3. Do whatever God tells you to do. Amen? And as you do, I want you to understand that as you are, listen, again, you say, well, we're not supposed to give just to get. Doesn't that defeat the whole purpose? This is not giving to get. All the stuff about God saying, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven. All the stuff about God saying, I'm going to provide for you. This is not an investment program where if I give one, God says he's going to give me 10. That's not what we're talking about. God, what he wants us to do is to be free from the fear that exists when I give. So God says, listen, you can be generous and you can give and you can be a blessing to the people around you and you can bring everything into the storehouse and you can do what I've told you to do because I'm promising you that I'm going to provide for you. Amen? So this is not what I'm giving to you. No. I'm giving to be a blessing and to be obedient to the Savior of my soul and the one who's already given everything for me as a follower of Jesus. I'm giving in obedience, but I can do so because the Word of God has already dealt with my fear, the fear that exists every time I give, wondering, is it going to work out? Amen? And to get to that, I've got to believe, you got to believe, we've got to believe, God wants to bless you. He wants to bless the person next to you, but he wants to bless you too. Amen? Why do I have to believe that? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists, and watch this last part, must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, some of you have been lied to. Some of you have been lied to by religion and been lied to by maybe people who I'm sure who have, we got this idea that like, well, God, I'm just going to be happy to go to heaven, and I'm just going to be satisfied to whatever. And we have sometimes, I think, trouble believing that God actually wants to bless you. But this scripture says, for me to even come to God, I've got to first believe that he exists, and I've got to believe that he is a rewarder. Amen? I've got to believe that he wants to do these things in my life if I ever want to see them happen. Amen? I've got to believe that he wants to heal me if I'm ever going to see him heal me. Come on, somebody. I've got to believe that he actually wants to bring his best and his blessing in my life if I'm going to have access to it. Amen, somebody? I've got to actually believe that. If I give sacrificially and obediently, if I give sacrificially and obediently and don't actually believe that God is doing anything with that in my life, what are we doing? Amen? Does that make me, y'all are quiet in here today. Does that make sense? Stand me all over this place this morning. Now, I know we've applied a lot of this to giving financially because we're going to receive a financial, and you're going to be challenged to give financially. But guys, again, this goes so far beyond just our finances. God wants to bless you so far beyond just your finances. That's just literally the first step. That's literally the first gate. But I want you to believe God wants to bless you. I believe with all of my heart. I'm not just saying this to say it, and I promise you, I promise you, I'm not saying this. I don't care what you do. I just want you to do whatever God tells you to do. Amen? There's not a bone in my body that is saying any of this with any manipulative attitude to try to get you to do something. I don't want to get you to do something. I want to get you to experience something that you never experienced before. I want you to experience something you've never experienced before. I want you to experience what it means to be more blessed. Amen? That's what I'm looking at for us. That's what I'm looking at for you. You know, you might be in this room today and you might be watching online this morning. You might be in this place today. You haven't even yet received something that money can never buy that God has already given to you. We talk about John 3:16. You might be in this place where you need to, you step you've got to take before you can even think about giving, being obedient to giving, and seeing all those kind of, listen, the more blessed you need to have is going to come through receiving what God has already given to you. If you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus, if you're in this place today and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, you have not surrendered your heart, you've not surrendered your soul, not surrendered your past, your mistakes, your sin, your present, your future to Christ, listen, I want you to know you can do that today. In this building or online, wherever you're watching from, whether it's live in the moment or some of the time throughout the week. Man, if you don't know Jesus right now, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. With every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment, I want to ask you just to take an event, take an account, accounting of where you are in your life and your soul. I mean, if you say, man, preacher, I've never really given my life to Jesus. I've never accepted that John 3:16 truth. I've never accepted what God gave for me to experience eternal life and to experience that. Listen, well, today you can. And it might be that you've been brought to this moment, to this day, to this message right now, to have that taken care of and to receive that right now. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, it's real simple. It's actually as simple as A, B, C. Simple. It may not be easy all the time, but it is simple. The first step is this: A, accept. I've got to accept that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I've got to accept that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. One preacher said it this way. He said, we are not mistakers that need an eraser. We are sinners who need Saviors. Every single one of us, the Bible says, has fallen short of the glory of God and is born with sin. And I've got to accept that. That's the first step to receiving Jesus. The second part, B. After I accept that I'm a sinner who needs a Savior, I've got to believe that Jesus is that Savior. And I can believe that Jesus is that Savior because that's exactly who he said he was and who the Word of God says he was and who many thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people all over the world who've experienced Jesus and who know Jesus. Some people right in this room, many people right in this room, they can tell you that, man, we've all come to believe that. We know that. So I accept that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that Jesus is that Savior. And C, I confess that with my mouth and through the belief of my heart. Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 says that if I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for me, and confess that with my mouth, so shall I be saved. It's really that simple? Yeah, it really is that simple. Now that, again, simple may not be easy, but it is that simple. And today, you can do that. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in just a moment. If nobody raises their hand, that's fine. That means we're all saved and we're all on our way to heaven. And we need to go out this week between now and next Sunday and find some people who don't know Jesus and bring them to church with us. But right now, man, if you're in this place, if you're online, you can respond by dropping a raised hand emoji in the comments or just saying, hey, I'm praying that prayer. And then you can go to redlifechurch.com and you can fill out. There's a link to get on this so we can connect with you. That's available to everyone online or in the building. But if you are right here in person, we're going to take a moment. I'm going to give you a chance to respond. And we're going to pray together. If you're in this place, say, man, I need to know this Jesus. I want to know this Jesus that God gave this gift of salvation that you've been talking about that God gave for me, man. I want to know that Jesus, man. If that's where you are, we just raise your hand right now over this room. We're going to pray together. Amen. Amen. See a couple hands up. We're going to pray for everyone in this room that raised their hand or anyone that might be watching online. I want everyone in this room to pray this out loud with me so that you can hear it with your own ears. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin. Come and live on the inside of me. I surrender all of my life, my past, my present, my future, my failure, all of it to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for accepting me. Help me to follow you from this moment on every day of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Spirit, make that real. Answer that prayer. Take up residence inside of souls and hearts right now. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you are leading us to be people of generosity. Lord, that you are leading us to be people that have no qualms about instantly obeying you in the area of giving and being generous. And I thank you that you are leading us in that path, in that direction, because God, you want us to be more blessed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you believe God wants you more blessed, say amen right now. Come on, if you believe God's ready to give you, show you what it means to be more blessed, in Jesus' name. Pray this week about how God's going to have us participate. We are going to celebrate. We are going to give. It's going to be an awesome time next Sunday as we give our 316. Now listen, half of every dollar that we've ever given in a 316 goes out from this church. We give that to another organization. We give that.